Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Buying Home Depot?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Home Depot has become the latest target of private equity firms. News reports say Kolber, Kravis Roberts, and Texas Pacific Group have been exploring a $100 billion leveraged buyout. It would be the largest LBO in history. Home Depot is the nation's second largest retailer. Its stock has lost more than 15% in the last 2 years. No formal offer has been made. However, there have been discussions concerning the debt portion of the deal, perhaps worth as much as $80 billion. Mexico gets a new president today. Felipe Calderon takes the reins of one of Latin America's most powerful economies. But as Frank Contreras reports from Mexico City, the country's economic outlook is mixed.
Once the inaugural parties are over, Felipe Calderon will be faced with a slowing Mexican economy. The U.S. is by far Mexico's biggest trading partner, and a sluggish U.S. economy is likely to put a chill on Mexican exports and industrial output. A drop in world oil prices is also expected to hurt. Mexico counts on oil revenues for the lion's share of its budget. During the campaign, Calderon promised to lift Mexico's poor from poverty. But less oil revenue means less money for such programs. The news isn't all bad for Calderon. Mexico is still in the midst of a housing boom. And analysts expect the economy will benefit from the more than $20 billion in remittances that Mexican workers in the U.S. are expected to send home to their families. In Mexico City, I'm Frank Contreras for Marketplace.
For the first time in 3 years, the British government has approved trials of a genetically modified crop. It's a potato designed to resist blight. Biotech companies are hoping the new product will lift the consumer resistance that has blighted genetic technology in Europe. From London, Stephen Beard has the story.
The new crop, developed by the German company BASF, could save farmers a lot of money. In Britain alone, blight ruins $100 million worth of potatoes a year. Worldwide, it could be $4 billion worth. The genetically modified potato is blight-resistant. It contains a gene from a wild variety of Mexican spud that's naturally immune to the disease. If the trials are proved today as successful, this could be a turning point for a controversial technology, says Barry Sticking of BASF.
We believe sincerely that this is a product which will achieve commercial acceptance, will receive consumer acceptance.
British consumers have so far rejected all GM crops, and one of Britain's biggest potato product manufacturers opposed the new trial on the grounds that it might damage the way all potatoes are perceived. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
If you think there are already enough distractions on the road, get ready for a new one. Sirius Satellite Radio will offer live TV service in cars by late next year. The company says mobile video is geared to younger viewers sitting in the back seat. Well, not much to say because not much happened on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow slipped 4 points to 12,221. The Nasdaq was flat at 2431. And the S&P was almost flat. It ticked up a point at 1400. In Tokyo, the Nikkei moved up 47 points, or 0.2%. And this is Marketplace. Today is World AIDS Day. 25 years after first emerging, it continues to kill millions around the world. Now it's possible to live for decades with the disease, but treatment is expensive. Jason Parr explains why.
New research shows that HIV/AIDS patients in the U.S. can now live an average of 24 years, with widely available treatments costing $620,000 over that time. David Bishai is an associate professor at Johns Hopkins. He says those costs shouldn't drop much in the future because of the economics of battling a constantly changing virus.
The rest of the century is going to require the continual production of new AIDS drugs because 30 years from now, the virus will have evolved away from our current stock of weapons against it.
Bashai says some current patients need fifth-generation drugs, and companies are already spending millions on research into sixth, seventh, and eighth-generation treatments. I'm Jason Parr for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success. SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The recent death of director Robert Altman has caused film critics to speak wistfully about his unique independent style. He was loved by actors, but not always popular with studios. Altman was that rare breed of director, like Woody Allen, whose films often didn't make lots of money, but always drew a loyal following. Mike Spire is managing editor at Daily Variety. I asked him how a director gets work in Hollywood when many of his pictures don't make very much money.
It's a great question, and it's a weird question because a lot of people wouldn't be able to do that now. But Robert Altman has a history. He has a backlog of films that people adore, and that alone allows people to say, I want to be in the Robert Altman business because of his history.
You know, he wasn't very political. He didn't seem to care about courting favors with studio heads at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. He was famous for his battles with anyone in a suit, and especially in the 1970s, where you got to remember that's where Robert Altman made his name, was the 70s with Nashville and with MASH and all those movies that were kind of against the establishment, and that's where he made his mark. And so he tried to carry that into the 80s and the 90s when the movie business changed and became conglomerized. He was kind of left out in the cold. While he still made movies, people didn't quite listen to him as much anymore.
Altman made great art. He didn't chase the dollar. Is there a lesson here, or did he just hit his stride in a different time, different era?
Hit his stride in a different era, and the big movies did make some money. I mean, they were critically acclaimed beyond any films of their time. He was one of those mavericks of the 70s, like Scorsese, like Coppola, people that made movies that critics liked and that the people went to. The problem is that later on, when the Spider-Mans came around and when Star Wars changed the method of filmmaking to be the blockbuster, there were then divisions of people. And there were people who said, look, it's a business. We need to make money and support our stockholders and our huge overhead. And then there's those small movies, which we adore, and Robert Altman's in that category.
You mentioned MASH. It seems like MASH is a contradiction to the Altman image. It made a lot of money. It led to a very popular TV show, and it's probably the film he's best known for.
Right, and good for him. But after that, he only made a few more of those. And again, you have to go back to MASH, Nashville, The Player. Those are like the three key Robert Altman movies in his oeuvre because those are the ones that a lot of people know off the top of their heads. Then he made recently, a lot of movies that nobody wanted to see. But of course, he came back with Gosford Park a few years ago, which was nominated for a lot of Academy Awards. So every time he made a few really big stinkers like Dr. T and the Women or The Company, which no one saw, then he would come back with a movie that said, oh boy, he's still around.
I actually like the women. But I noticed you didn't mention Prairie Home Companion.
No, but that's a very unique case of Prairie Home Companion because it exemplified the type of business that surrounds Robert Altman, which is he can get any actor in the world. He got Meryl Streep. He got Lindsay Lohan. He can get anybody. Everyone has nothing but good things to say about him, the creative community. Now, the company that made the movie, Picture House, was a new company. This was their first big movie to come out of there. When I say big, that's what I mean, because a Robert Altman big movie is A Prairie Home Companion.
Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
You know, all those.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.